Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like you to take out your intro in your bulletin this morning, because that's going to serve as a sermon text. And as you're doing that, I want you to think about next week as we change from Divine Service 1 to Divine Service 2. Music and the words change, but the structure remains the same. And as you remember, as we did today, you started with the confession. And there we laid our souls bare with our shame, with our guilt that we have brought upon ourselves as well as the very glory of God. Yes, these are the reasons. Yes, our sin is the reason that the very Son of God had to die on the cross, that He gave Himself to save self, that He saved creation itself from the eternal damnation. And so in the service of confession, we hear the good news, the absolution, the forgiveness of our sins because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There, God has declared us in baptism to be His own children. He has staked His reputation on it. What a joy, what Easter joy we celebrate. Praise the Lord. And so we leave the service of confession and come to the service of the Word. And there, the service of the Word is the introit, as we find fitting this day for the seventh Sunday of Easter, starting out with Psalm 101, verse 1, and Psalm 100. No, I'm not going to have you stand for the whole sermon, but I want to draw your attention to this introit. As we again speak it, half verse by half verse, I'll say the first half and you respond with the second verse. I will sing of the steadfast love and justice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord, He is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever. Together, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing of the steadfast love and justice. You may be seated. I will sing of the steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. That's the refrain, the antiphon of the intro from Psalm 101, verse 1. It captures the very heart of all of Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. These two are the two reasons to praise the Lord. In Psalm 101, love and justice. When we think of justice, maybe we think of someone going to court because they have been wronged. Justice is when there are reparations that are demanded and made in hopes that things once again will be set right and things will be at peace. But as you know, and may have even experienced, these things don't always go right in the courtroom. And after the decree, not everybody feels happy. And even some separate, never to see each other again. But the biblical understanding of justice is more than having justice done in a courtroom. It is the understanding that things are set in right order once again. For God knows that we can't set things in order once again. I mean, maybe you've gone ahead and broken a beautiful vase, you know, and tried to glue it together. It still isn't what it used to be, right? But even though things may have been set right, there is an empty spot. Families not reconciled. Opposing parties still angry at each other. There needs to be the other component, that is love. God's steadfast love Psalm 101 has announced that it is already here. God's steadfast love, that love that it's enduring, unconditional, and as we heard in the absolution, sacrificial. So we rest in that forgiving love of God until God sets all things right. Praise the Lord. This justice and steadfast love are the reason that God's people can sing, enter his courts with thanksgiving, and enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Courts and gates have to do with the temple, because it says his courts, his gates. His gates are the place where people enter, not just into the presence of God, because we know God is present everywhere, but the place that we find God's grace and his mercy. The Ark of the Covenant, where God's holy law was stored, also had on top of it the lid, the mercy seat of God. Now, God's temple was made of wood and stone, but it was destroyed in 70 AD and has never been rebuilt. So where should God's people go? That was the question that the Jews who had rejected Jesus asked. But God's word does not speak of wood and stone, but an enduring temple that's before God. Remember John chapter 2? Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And the Jews said to him, "It has taken us 46 years to build this temple. Will you raise it up in 3 days?" But John remembers he was speaking about the temple of his body. And he continues, "When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken." You see, the temple is all about the word. The body of Christ is all about the word made flesh. Jesus Christ is the very temple of God, where he is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, where in the person of Jesus, both God and man rest in perfect harmony. He is the one who suffered and died to fulfill all the animal sacrifices that were ever made since Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God himself clothed them with animal skins. And since the Passover was first instituted, so that when the angel of the death saw the blood on the doorpost, he passed over God's people. And since that first tabernacle and the temples were built, and the atoning blood of the Lamb spattered on the ark and the scapegoat sent into the wilderness, because of this Jesus, John is able to say in Revelation chapter 1, "And I saw there was no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." Praise the Lord. So now, how, after the ascension, do we come into the presence of God through the very word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus? Jesus said in John 14, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know me and have seen him." And so to know Jesus is to know the Father himself. To know Jesus is to enter into God's very presence. Now, some may wonder, why would God even act this way or even care? The psalmist writes, "It is he who made us, and we are his, and the sheep of his pasture." You see, we belong to God twice. He made us, and he has redeemed us. You probably heard the story of the boy who went ahead and made a beautiful ship, how he painted it and raised its sails and also made plans for its first voyage down the river that went through his city. He finally finished, and it was a beautiful sunny day. He placed the ship into the river, and it started floating with the wind taking up its sails. And the boy ran alongside of it as it drifted and sailed it down the river. But then a current caught it and took it further into the middle of the river. It went faster and faster, and the boy ran faster and faster, and then tripped over a twig and fell. And he looked up, and his ship was gone. heartbroken, he walked home. Well, a few weeks later, he was walking along the sidewalk and noticed in one of the shops, there was his ship. Ecstatic, he went into the shop to claim what was rightfully his, what he had made. The shopkeeper simply pointed to the price tag and then walked off. Despondent, the boy went home and cracked open his piggy bank and counted what he had. $12 short. He mowed lawn and did all that he could, and then he rushed back to the shop, and he bought his boat. And as he exclaimed as he walked out of the shop, "You are twice mine." This is the kind of God that we have in Christ Jesus, twice his by love and justice. He wants everyone to know, so that it is on the psalmist's lips, "Know that the Lord is God." Therefore, we can come into his presence and sing in his presence with thanksgiving. That's what we are doing this day. God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and we respond in word and song and deed. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Also in deed. For the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness." It's difficult in a world that doesn't see things the way we want them to see, nor especially see the way God sees it. We experience injustice and lovelessness all the time, and we still live in a broken world with broken people and broken bodies. But as God's redeemed people, we can look at the world differently. We are His. He has redeemed us. And we are, and so the broken world and the broken people are people for whom we are to serve, because our Lord has served us and them with the same justice and love. This isn't even what the world thinks as love. But this love and justice is being restored to God's order, the way He would desire life to be, and for how it really works. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." And sometimes to live God's way, it is a real sacrifice. People have lost jobs. People have lost friends. Family has not even talked to them. In other parts of the world, they have even been executed. But Paul continues to encourage us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has given. For as in one body we are members, and members do not have all the same functions, so we, though we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Serve the Lord with gladness. For in Jesus we find God's true justice. In Jesus, we find God's true steadfast love. In Jesus, we find that God has already come to us. In Jesus, we come into the very presence of God. In Jesus, we find that God's judgment is satisfied, that we are His and He is ours, and that all creation, and this is what all creation needs to know, so that we can look forward to celebrating the Pentecost, that is the gathering of God's people from the ends of the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.